The Blade Smart Sportscast is brought to you by SumaxBatteries.com, the go-to website for all your battery needs. SumaX Batteries carries a full line of super heavy-duty ultra-alkaline lithium and button cell batteries. SumaX Batteries compares in quality to well-known national brands, and the best part, SumaX Batteries are priced much lower than their competitors. Flashlights, remote controls, gaming controls, headphones, digital cameras, hearing aids, smoke alarms, whatever device you need a battery for, SumaX has the best batteries at the best price for your device. You can order a 24-pack of AA or AAA heavy-duty batteries for only $5.99, or a 24-pack of Ultra Alkaline, ideal for all kinds of gaming and high-tech devices, at just $12.99. Order today and use code BOSTON, that's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, and save 20% off your entire order. Once again, that's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, to check out and save big today. SumaxBatteries.com, CELLMAXBatteries.com, the official sponsor of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys. Alright, welcome back to another episode of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys podcast. Thanks as always to Dolly Dreams for the intro music. This week, we're joined by Sam LaFrance and Jack Simone of Bannertown. You know them, you love them. Guys, thanks for coming on the show.
Of course.
Hell yeah.
Always a good time to talk to you.
Yeah, I mean, we always love it. Always love talking Celtics with you guys. We're getting right into it now. Coming off a back-to-back for the Celtics. Good time to assess the team, especially with Jason Tatum finally returning. And it looks like maybe tomorrow night we're going to get to see Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum all on the court for the first time this season.
Yeah, I know Sam was telling me earlier how it's important for them to, you know, get together before the Lakers game, right, Sam? You know.
Yeah, that I tweeted that yesterday, and it seems like people agree with it because I got, I don't know, like 20 likes or something on it, which is high for me.
Oh, flexing.
Not a flex. It's a flex when it's like I got 100 likes.
That's a flex.
But yeah, it is important because you don't want those guys to go out there and be trying to figure out how to play when they're playing a big game like it against LA. You know, I think everybody wants to win that.
Yeah, and trying to play like, you know, they have played together, you know, before last year, and Gordon certainly was not on the court every time. So, but you know, for the first time in however many months, you know, four or five months now.
And also things are changing because you've got Brown and Tatum playing, well, especially Brown, playing much better than he was in the bubble. And that's saying something because he was good in the bubble too, but he's at a whole nother level now. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see how Kemba's going to fit with those guys. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I don't think Jack did either, but I know it can be difficult when you add an extra scorer, but it should be mostly positive. He's going to open up things for them and they're going to make it easy for him because he's coming back. So they're not going to have to worry about – I mean, he's not going to have to worry about doing everything himself.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited for, you know, Jaylen, Jason, and Kemba to play together. I wasn't too worried about Kemba, you know, having to step back into that tertiary role because I think it'll be fine, especially with the way he's been playing this season. He's looked great coming off that knee surgery. And plus, like Sam said, with Jaylen and Jason both being all-stars this year pretty much, I don't see any reason it shouldn't be, you know, fire.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that stood out to me from these last couple games, and I know you guys mentioned it, especially on the pregame show, was like slowly but surely Aaron Nesmith, he's showing some flashes. And last night I particularly liked it, not only the three-point shooting from last night, but he had one nice defense play. He did get beat back door, which led to Brad calling a timeout, and he was very frustrated about that. But then after that, he came back out. He got a nice deflection underneath the basket that knocked the ball out of bounds. And, you know, it wasn't perfect, but it was better than what we've seen so far.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying, he hustles. Dude's built, too. Like, he looks like he has a really nice frame, good NBA body. Get in the weight room with Shemi Ojeley a little bit. I think that could be a good defensive piece. And like I said, yeah, he just hustles. He gets around the court. He plays solid defense when he learns how to get into rotation. Like you said, he did get beat back door. But I think that's just, you know, rookie. Like, he's a little nervous
but
out there.
It is crazy. 3 of 5 in back-to-back games from deep. Like, that's really all we wanted from him this season. Not, like, that efficient.
It's improvement.
Yeah, but, like, we're not asking him to shoot 60% every game. But, like, you know, we're looking for him to be capable of doing that on a few games here and there. And the fact that he did get in a rhythm these last few games and is able to raise his percentage, and we know he's capable of doing that, like, that's the really good sign.
Yeah, it's good to see him getting some shots to fall just for confidence. He's a young guy, and it's huge for any young player. And it can segue us if we're done with this. I don't know if we are, which is fine if we're not. But Carson Edwards is the same deal. He sees the ball go, and he's a whole different player. You know, he's been decent these last couple games. just like Neesmith. And I think Neesmith finding his footing is really important for this team because it gives them more versatility off the bench. And like Jack said, or touched upon, Neesmith plays hard. He's a shooter, yes, but he is always in there trying to get the rebound. He's always hustling. He had that nice chase down to break up an alley-oop yesterday. He has been a hustler, and people are going to love that. And we saw it in the preseason when he actually got to play, but he hasn't played in a while.
Yeah, the thing is, like, he's almost doubled his three-point percentage. Like, he was going before those last two games, he was shooting 18.7% from deep. And now he's shooting almost 34% after going, you know, 6 of 10 over those 2 days. So, I mean, the fact that he's able to raise it up that much and, like, get close to being, you know, above league average, like, that's great. And I think that a big part of it was rookie jitters. Like, I think, remember when Grant Williams came into the league? And Grant Williams certainly isn't a great shooter. But do you remember he came in and he started, what, 0 of 25? And then he got in a rhythm and he improved a lot. And I think a lot of that was, you know, Grant Williams, he's not a knockdown shooter now.
Right.
But he wasn't 0 of 25 bad, you know?
Yeah, shout out to him for the confidence, too. Like, he just kept shooting because he had confidence in himself, believed in himself. Neesmith, he was playing meaningful minutes as well. That's huge. We did discuss this a little bit earlier, but, like, even in that Cavs game when he came in the second quarter and they were up however many, it's still important minutes that he's playing. He's playing with rotation players, and he's playing in a situation where you don't want to let Cleveland get back in the game, and he played well. And yesterday he was playing, I believe he was out there in the fourth quarter. He was in there in the second quarter as well when the game was close, and he made some threes. So I'm really happy he's getting some run with the main guys because that's giving him confidence, and seeing the ball going is giving him confidence. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the main guys. I'm intrigued to see when Kemba and, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are all there. And even when Pritchard comes back, if Carson and Neesmith continue to get these minutes, because, you know, obviously Celtics are bit by the injury bug at the moment or whatever you want to call it. So
I mean, yeah, but if you had a pick, it's Neesmith over Carson, right? Like, it's not even close.
I would argue so, yeah.
Yeah, when they're healthy, yes. Especially because you've got Pritchard. Right now, it's nice having Edwards step up because you don't have to play Teague, who, as much as I want to see him do well, he hasn't been doing well. He's not making good decisions. He's like Wanamaker all over again. He's not making great decisions. Well, at least Wanamaker would finish his drives. I mean, geez. Teague's not getting anything to go.
Yeah, I think that'll turn around. I have to believe that at some point. Like, Teague's been a really good
player. I hope so. I'm rooting for him.
He's been a decent enough player for a long enough time that I'm thinking eventually he's going to get it rolling again. Like, he's not going to shoot 20. I think he's shooting, like, 25% from two-point range or something like that. I threw the set out at Jack last night on the post-game show. But it's, like, bad.
It's 29 now, yeah, It's not
great. He's not going to stay that way. Jeff Teague's a better player than that. But the thing with Neesmith is that I hope that we've crossed a kind of, you know, threshold here. And certainly he'll deal with some rookie struggles throughout the rest of the season. Like, that's just part of being a rookie. There's a lot of ups and downs. But I think we passed the point of, like, he's scared. You know, the moment's too big for him. I think we've been able to move past that with him, and that's what we've seen in these last few games.
No, yeah, I mean, he airballed, like, twice in the last two games, but the important thing is he keeps shooting, which is, I think, what you mentioned with Grant. No fear, just keep going. So I think that helped Neesmith a lot.
Speaking of Grant, I don't want to bring up some drama right now, Jack, I mean, what are your thoughts on Grant right now? Because Grant catching a lot of heat from Celtics fans, not just Celtics fans, but one noted Celtics fan over at Guy Boston Sports, Ev. Ev is a noted Grant hater, I guess you could say. You know, Grant detractor, whatever. I mean, do you have a response? Like, go ahead right here. Like, what is going on with Grant? Just let it out, man. Let it out.
Yeah, I mean, Ev put some Grant hate on my timeline. I was real quick to reply to that. Let him know that that's not acceptable by any means.
Not okay. No, of course.
But no, I can acknowledge he hasn't been great as of late. One place he's really struggled, he gets a lot of offensive turnovers, just fouling, which is not great. I don't know if it's like a confidence thing, if he's just like in a little slump, but every player gets into those slumps, so I expect him to get right out of it. He's been playing mainly fourth quarter minutes right now, and so it's not exactly like he's playing with the rest of the guys on the team who are like all-star level. So those two games he started with Tristan Thompson at the four, it was a little rough. Both him and Tristan were just dropping passes everywhere. That was ugly. But as a whole, I think he's still a fine player. I think he needs to get back into the swing of things, build his confidence back up a tiny bit. I think it's getting to him at this point, because we know from last season he was one of the most consistent guys off the bench. So I don't expect him to stay this way.
I'm going to help you out here, Jack. Okay, let me do this for you. What do you think Grant is shooting from three right now?
Well, he was solid to start the year. It's probably low 30s, like 31, 32 maybe.
39.3%. Okay,
even better. Even better.
11 of 28. And so you were a little softer, Jack. I'm going to say, and if you're out there listening, listen up, bingo. Okay? You're giving Grant way too much heat.
There we go.
He's actually shooting well this season. Look, from the field, like, his field goal percentage is only 41%, which isn't that great. Mm-hmm. But, like, a lot of his shots are coming from three. I think, let me see here. I have his totals right here. Wow. So almost half of his shots are coming from three-point range. So you can't really get on him. I mean, two-point percentage at 42%, that needs to improve a little bit. But even still, like, offensively, like, at least mm-hmm. shooting the ball, he's been pretty good. I mean, it's like you said, maybe his turnovers are a little high for what his role, you know, what he does. It's almost a one turnover per game for which... For a guy who doesn't have the ball in his hands too much, like, that's not great. But, you know, could he be doing a little more? Like, certainly, yeah. And have I liked Semi more than him? Especially because what Semi's done on defense this season? Like, yeah, incrementally. But Grant hasn't been terrible. The only thing that's really, really been terrible is if you look at his free throw percentage, it's 42%, which is crazy that he's shooting 42% from the line this year. But even that's on limited attempts. Like, I think he only has, what, 14 free throw attempts? Which is, you know... high enough sample size, but yeah, I mean, Grant, I think he's catching way too much heat this season. I really do.
Grant, PTSD back to game 7 against the Raptors, where he missed two free throws and then Tatum got the rebound and saved him. But if we want to talk about Grant, you can always attribute, you can find an example of his impact in the way that Brad Stevens will play him. He didn't play the whole game yesterday, and then they brought him in the fourth when Chicago was coming back a bit. Nails a big three in the corner, right? They cut it. Chicago had cut it to 10. Comes right back, drills that. He is a big-time player. Even if he doesn't put up the numbers, I'm not saying he's Marcus or anything, but he is definitely an impact player. That's why he's seeing minutes in the fourth quarter. And if you go back to the bubble playoffs last year, it was the same deal. He would be in the fourth quarter every game.
No, I just, like, Sam, you mentioned the Raptors game. You also got to mention, he got that block on Fred VanVleet. Didn't show up in the box score, which is whack. That didn't count as a block, but man makes big plays, and that's what's important for the Celtics. Comes in the fourth, does what he's needed to do, and he doesn't complain when he sits on the bench. We don't hear him bitching in the media at all, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Also important to note. Great three-point shooter, great team player.
Stop the Grant hate, okay? He doesn't deserve it. He absolutely doesn't deserve it, and it's unwarranted. Ev.
Yeah, it's so weird. That's like the last guy on the team, like, you think people would hate. He doesn't play enough to really piss you off.
Yeah.
And he's not a prick. Like, you know, he's not.
Yeah.
Like Teague, he doesn't have, like, an attitude problem, but he's playing a lot of minutes where you're like, oh, that could have been a pass to somebody else if there's a different guard in there, or somebody else could be getting these minutes or getting these shots. Mm. And, like, I'm not trying to, like, drive the Teague hate train or anything, because I don't hate him. I just don't think he's playing well right now.
I'm a Jeff Teague supporter, so you better watch what you say about Jeff Teague, bucko. All right.
Well, I'm trying. Listen, I'm not out here trying to see anybody fail, especially when they're wearing green. But if he's not playing well, yesterday you saw Carson Edwards get in. He was off the bench before Teague, so I think that's kind of good. I'm glad guys are getting opportunities off the bench.
I also wanted to mention really quickly and move on to Tatum a little bit, because Tatum obviously returns last night, has a pretty decent game. I know we were talking before in the pregame show, Jack, like, we were wondering, is he going to, you know, come out slow? Is he going to, you know, is there going to be a period where he needs to integrate back into the game? Like, how rusty is he going to be? And he looked pretty good. Like, you know, he didn't do anything spectacular, but 24 points, like, that's a really good night. You know, that's a pretty good performance. And overall, like, I think everybody's pretty happy with it. I did notice that Patrick Williams was spending a lot of time on Jaylen Brown early on in that game. So that matchup kind of worked in Tatum's favor too. But overall, like, I wasn't disappointed. It looked like No, not much rust. Maybe it'll be that one game delay that we saw the Celtics have where they looked great against the Magic and then the next game was where they broke apart. But I mean, last night, early returns, like, doesn't look like he missed a beat.
No, yeah, and he was taking some of those step back threes and mid range we know him for, but he was attacking the basket really well, which is what I was impressed with the most. Like, he had no fear, no hesitation. I know it was just Chicago, so it's not like he's going up against a defensive juggernaut or anything, but yeah, I mean, he got to the rim, he got to the basket. And he was converting. And what impressed me even more was when he got to the basket, he was passing a lot too. Like, he wasn't afraid to make the extra pass. Like, he dumped it off the Tice one time. He could kick it to the corner if need be.
He had the sweet pass off the pick and roll to Javonte Green in the far corner.
Yeah, yeah.
That was nice.
Making good plays. But yeah, I was impressed with Jason Tatum.
He got off to a fast start too. He had like 7 points real quick. And I have no problem with guys like, I mean, what do you have, 24 points, right? That's what we said.
I think so,
he wasn't like, he didn't have a monster performance or anything, but you don't need that. You don't need a monster performance. I'm happy when they win, whether it's him, Brown, Kemba, someone off the bench. Marcus has a big game that makes them win, even though it's never Marcus, because when he has a big game, they lose. But Marcus, by the way,
great game.
Excellent lately.
Yeah, I think he had a big first half the other night. I remember I tweeted about it. He had, like, just in the first half alone, he was like 12 points, 5 assists, like, three steals or something like that. Like, he was looking really good. I think
he had a double double yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he has good. Been playing a lot better as of late. And I know we talked about, like, a while ago, I don't know which one of you guys are talking about it with, but that he was kind of disappointing a little bit this season. Like, it wasn't the old Marcus we're used to.
I think this is a pregame. Like, and then I ripped Jack for it in one of my articles.
That's not what I said, talking. Though. You
don't play with my boy.
Hey, yo, no. I think you mixed my words.
I think the point I made.
No, I was just being a dick. I just ripped Jack for no reason.
The point I made was that, like, can we think of one big play that Marcus Smart has made this season yet? Like, we usually are able to rat him off. Makes a bunch of those big plays. Don't show up in the stats board. Like, whatever the play where he throws it off Kawhi Leonard's leg, right? Or, like, you know, the block on Norman Powell, whoever. Like, he always seems to have those big plays in the end of the game, the charges against James Harden, you know? But I don't feel like we've seen those this year. Like, I can't, there's no singular Marcus Smart play from this season that comes to mind about, like, in crunch time or anything like that yet. But the other night,
well, the season is young.
But yes, I think two nights ago against, who was it, the Cavaliers, right? They were, he had 12 points, four assists,
five steals from Marcus.
And 71% from the field in that first half. So he was great.
Huge.
And, you know, like, that's what you need from Marcus, especially if, you know, Jalen, Kemba, and Jason are going to be scoring, you know, 70 combined points a game. Like, Marcus, like, just be a good facilitator, you know, play defense and hit your shots when you get them. And, like, that's all you're asking for him. That's all you've ever really been asking from Marcus Smart. He just needs to be able to do that consistently.
I'm excited to see him drop back into the fourth option role when, you know, you've got the big three, per se. Back tomorrow or Wednesday, if you want to use that kind of, you know, it's not necessarily tomorrow when you listen to this. But yeah, I'm excited to see how he's going to take a step back in the offense. I think he's going to be fine. That's not something that's going to bother him. It's the way he's been really most of his career. And I've actually been impressed in his ability to step up. You know, we saw in the playoffs last year. Jeez, he was a monster against Toronto. He had a triple-double in Game 6. He is a beast, and he's really good at playing his role. So I'm excited to just see if he can take a step back and make – he might go back to making those big plays. That might be what we talk about instead of him having a double-double.
I mean, yeah, when you mentioned the no big plays, I countered with the charges he drew against Giannis in the season opener. I thought that was pretty big, but – other than that, I mentioned, you know, the quote that Sam was slandering me for. I wasn't as much mad at the shots he was taking. Like, the threes are fine. Like, obviously, he's making them at a solid clip, and if they're open, you got to take them. I was more concerned with the fact that when he was driving to the paint and just driving in, he was just taking layups and not even looking to pass. But in the past few games, he obviously, clearly with 11 assists, has been looking to pass out of that, making a lot of good reads. So I like Marcus Smart more as a primary facilitator than a scorer. And I think with the emergence, or not the emergence, the return of Tatum and Walker back into the lineup, he can take on more of that role, which is where he shines. So
I feel like, you know, he likes to play with Tice a lot. So does Kemba. Tice is a guy that guys love to run the pick and roll with. He's excellent. He's good at finishing around the rim. You saw Marcus throw a lob or two to him yesterday. He he is someone that is an impact player. He's been playing much better lately too, and that's going to help the team win.
So another thing I want to talk about is the news that came across today that the Pelicans are kind of shopping Lonzo Ball and JJ Redick. And I think all of us agree that both of those guys would be great on the Celtics. Like, if Celtics can land both of those guys in their rotation somewhere, they'd fit right in. Like, I question a little bit about, you know, those are two guards, and I feel like the Celtics, I think probably dealing away Teague at this point makes some sense, maybe. But, like, with the emergence of when you have Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, and Peyton Pritchard, like, adding two more guards to that mix might be a little bit difficult, but in theory, I like both of those guys on the Celtics.
Depends on the price, of course.
No, yeah, yeah. I mean, realistically, the Pelicans have been struggling with shooting a lot this season. I know JJ Redick's struggling too, so when that guy's struggling from three, you're probably not going to be a great three-point shooting team. Lonzo's been having a rough time as well, but we know both of them can make shots, so I feel like you put them in the right system, they'll be fine. And the Pelicans have been running Lonzo as a shooting guard this year with Bledsoe as the point, which is just not what he thrives at. So when you take Lonzo out of the position where he can make plays and run the offense, then he's just not going to be as good as he should be, because that's who Lonzo is. So I feel like if the Celtics take a first round pick, I like the way Tice has been playing, but he would be probably what the Pelicans want, a shooting big man, because they have Steven Adams running next to Zion right now, and that doesn't seem like it would mix well. You throw in Tice, maybe Carson Edwards at this point, and a first-round pick, trade them for those two guys. I feel like the Pelicans could bite at that. It's a lot to give up, especially with how well Tice and Edwards have been playing as of late, but you still have Robert Williams, you still have Tristan Thompson, you still have big men. Obviously Grant Williams can run stretch five if need be, and then you got those wings and plus more shooting and more playmaking with Lonzo and with JJ Redick for shooting. That'd be pretty solid in my eyes.
Yeah, that's a fair price. I see right now I'm all hesitant to give up on Tice because he's been playing so well.
No, yeah, yeah,
but that's just how I am. I was talking to somebody, yes, one of my friends, and he was like, you know, I would do Kemba for Redick and Lonzo picks too. Not just straight up. And I was like, I don't know. It depends what the picks are and things like that. I if they can get Lonzo without giving up Kemba, I think that's interesting. I also think it gives you an opportunity to run Kemba off the ball. I hope that's what they would do, or bring Lonzo off the bench, because I think Lonzo is a good point guard to have on a team like this. It's something we've talked about many times, Jack. I feel like the point guard doesn't have to be the main guy. Him bringing the ball up and distributing to his weapons around him, Tatum, Brown, maybe Kemba, if they run Kemba off the ball, is where he would thrive. And it seems like a good fit. So I'd be interested in that for the right price.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing to me is what it does to your rotation, because if you get those guys, then all of a sudden you have five guards. That means Brown is never playing the two again. Like, basically, you know, you can't afford to, because you have to find minutes for Pritchard, for Walker, for Teague. Or no, sorry, not Teague. In that scenario, you pretty much have to get rid of Teague in that scenario. So you throw Teague in the deal, whatever, however it works out. But you have Walker, you have Smart, you have then Pritchard, and then you throw those two guys in the mix, two at guard. Like, you might even be talking about playing Smart at the three more, which, you know, he's a little undersized for, but he can certainly do, and he can guard most threes. Like, that's the kind of situation you're putting yourself in. And certainly, it gives you great depth in case you have injuries, and with Kemba Walker still working his way back, like, not playing, obviously, didn't play the back-to-back last night. Like, if you want to manage that a little more, it gives you more freedom, and certainly Pritchard's out now. So, you know, yeah, injuries are going to happen, and it'll give you a decent amount of depth, but when you're fully healthy, I feel like it's hard to fit all those guys in, and I think that means from the Celtics standpoint, you have to say, do we really want to make this trade if it's going to work out that we're not really using JJ Redick all that much at all?
I mean, maybe if you're Boston, you try to work it out where you give a couple extra seconds and get Josh Hart back instead of JJ. I don't know how open the Pelicans were to that, but he can definitely run three better than Redick can, because we know Redick's not the best defender, and Josh Hart is probably not as good a shooter, but is definitely more of a two-way guy. Like I said, though, I don't know how willing the Pelicans would be to give him up, because he has been having a solid season, and JJ definitely hasn't. Plus, Hart fits more in the timeline.
Yeah, if they trade for JJ Redick, you have to think end of the bench guy, doesn't get a whole lot of time, especially because Brad, I mean, you remember when they played Philly, like, they would just pick on JJ Redick on defense, and you have to imagine that's more, like, going to happen more. If they trade for him, you have to think it's last year of his career, just a veteran, you know, can hit some threes in there, and you need to maybe mentor Aaron Nesmith a little bit, and, you know, is really not going to play a pivotal role in the rotation aside from injuries, because he just doesn't profile as a guy that Brad would love to play at the two.
No, yeah. I mean, Brad's always been all about defense, so you can't really have a guy like Riddick and have him be a liability on defenses. Still expect Brad Stevens to play him at all.
I like Riddick. I don't think he's a great defender. I do think he does bring some, I guess, veteran leadership, depending how much you value that. He definitely has it. He's played in the finals. He was on those decent Philly teams that the Celtics stomped over a couple years ago. But he's a shooter, man. He might not be having a great year. Who knows? Change of scenery might help him. I'm not super over the moon on him, though. But Lonzo is the most interesting piece, not only because he has a different play style than Kemba, but also because he's younger. Mm-hmm. And if Pritchard wasn't popping off like he is, it would be even more compelling. He could be the successor to Kemba, which is something that I think we all think about quite a bit, because Kemba's older than Tatum and Brown.
Yeah.
But who knows, you know?
Yeah, I think we think about it more than most people. But I do agree with you. Like, part of the reason that I wanted Tyrese Haliburton in the draft was for that very reason. And I think a lot of the things that I liked about Tyrese Haliburton, like, Lonzo has some of those things too, some of those qualities. So Lonzo, to me, as a guy that just runs the offense, facilitates, and plays defense, that profiles perfectly next to Brown and Tatum long term. Now, I question maybe the shooting of Alonzo Smart backcourt, if those two would be together. You know, I'm not sure if that would give you enough floor spacing for Tatum and Brown to work. But I still kind of like it a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, Lonzo's struggling this year, but he shot really well from three last season. So I think it's all about him finding his rhythm. I think he can be a solid shooter.
If Lonzo ends up here, he can fill into a Rondo role. If you look back at the older, you know, the teams of the late 2000s, early 2010s. Yeah. He can be that guy that's just the facilitator.
Yeah, I wonder if it makes it easier for defenses to collapse on Tatum and Brown because they don't have enough spacing on the floor. Like, if people are willing to sag off Lonzo and Smart. But we'll talk more about that if they have to make the trade. Last thing here we're going to get into, Lonzo's old team, the Lakers. They're playing them at the end of the week here. Last two times they played the Lakers, both great games for the Celtics, at least. One of them was competitive, which was fun, and the other one was just a blowout, which is in its own way pretty fun. So, what are you guys expecting?
Blowout at the Garden, always a blast.
Yeah, what are you guys expecting this time around?
I expect a really good game, if I'm being honest. There's not fans in the Garden, that makes a difference. The Celtics have been playing very well so far this season, despite the COVID bullshit and unfortunately being without Kemba because of his knee. But I mean, you've got those three guys coming back. Hopefully they play Wednesday night in San Antonio and you can get them going together a little bit again, get them back in the swing of things. If they can do that, I think they can beat LA. I hope they can. I hate Lakers fans. They're the worst people. The LeBron people are the worst people, but then the Lakers fans are the worst people.
And can you imagine there are people that are LeBron fans and Laker fans? Like,
oh, I know. Ridiculous. It's awful. It's very bad.
I feel like it'll be a competitive game as long as that big three of Kemba, Jalen, and Jason can mesh well against San Antonio. I'm not saying they don't have a chance against Lakers or anything. I'm just saying I'm much less of a homer than Sam, and he'll be the first to admit that.
Oh, I'm a huge homer.
The Lakers team is good this year. They're scary good this year. Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder, Marcus Gasol. Like,
they got better for sure.
They rebuilt that team really, really well. Kuzma's playing okay. Caruso's still there. You know, Wesley Matthews, all these guys that you don't think of when you think of the Lakers. They make a big impact, and it's not the most fun thing to think about as a Celtics fan, but it's going to be a really, really competitive game if the Celtics can come with the same intensity, which I can't imagine they wouldn't since it is the Lakers.
They'll be up for it.
No, that's a good point, because I did point out last season the games were, you know, worked in the Celtics' favor pretty much, and, you know, like I said, blowout and then close one in LA. But that's a good point that, you know, when you look at the Lakers, you see LeBron and AD, but there's so much change on that roster, and they're so much better with Harrell and those guys, Schroeder, everything like that, like basically bringing in the two favorites for Sixth Man of the Year last year, the two guys who finished first and second, and, you know, putting them on your roster is just, like, that's ridiculous. And it really doesn't get enough play because in the NBA it's all about the stars and that's all you're thinking about, but it has made a huge difference for them this year.
And I think that Anthony Davis is going to be that X factor. I'm not saying LeBron's not great. LeBron is probably the best player in the NBA right now, even though Sam hates to hear that. But I think
he's a good player, he's just a prick.
Yeah, either Jalen or and or Jason can match up with him, but I don't really see anybody this on the Celtics that matches up with Davis very well. It's probably going to be Tice, and then you'll throw Thompson on Harrell, double bigs, I assume you'd see. But Davis is going to feast, like Embiid did. So
Well, exactly. I was just going to say, with what Embiid did to them, like, I don't have a lot of faith in Thompson going into this game. Yeah. I just don't. I mean, I want him to be better defensively.
I have more faith in Tice.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that was the thing, is, like, you brought in Thompson to be a guy that's going to rebound and play defense, and he just hasn't been playing well enough on defense this year at all. Like, you might as well have an Escanter out there way he's been playing. I say that, I know that's kind of a shot, but I mean, yeah, it's been bad.
It's not great. It's not great. Tice has definitely been the better guy against opposing big men. And I looked this up earlier, but
see, I think Davis is a different dude than Embiid in terms of guarding. When I think of who you want to throw at Embiid, I don't think Thompson. I think Tice, just because Tice he's quicker, he's more athletic, right? And Anthony Davis is more of a versatile player, where Embiid is a bang down low, need a big body, which is why they have Thompson, even though he didn't do well. But Anthony Davis is someone that Tice can handle better.
Honestly,
than Thompson can,
I mean, I Anthony think. Davis, obviously, throughout his career has been very hesitant to get in the paint and bang down low. So if there's anybody on the Celtics I'd want to put on him, it might be Jaylen Brown. Dude can guard the big bodies. He guarded Pascal Siakam really well last year. So,
well, somebody's going to guard LeBron too.
I mean, throw Tatum on LeBron.
You want him on LeBron, or you want Tatum?
I mean,
on LeBron,
I'd rather
maybe Marcus.
My point is, I'd rather have Brown guard Davis than Tatum, even though Tatum is taller, because I feel like Brown is stronger, and so I'd throw Tatum on LeBron.
Throw Marcus Smart on everybody. That's what I say. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for this show this week, guys. Thank you for joining us. As always, guys, go check out everything on Bannertown at Bannertown USA. The best website in the business, maybe second best, okay, but pretty good. But thank you guys for joining us as always, and check out the pregame shows as well. Great time.
Those are a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you for having us, really appreciate it.
Thanks, KJ. It's always a good time to talk with you.
I know, it's the best. I'm fun to talk to. All right, guys, follow Sam on Twitter at SamLaFriendsNBA. Follow Jack on Twitter at JackSimoneNBA. Follow me on Twitter at ByKJDoyle, not by KY Doyle, but that's an inside joke. We won't talk about that. You can follow at GuyBostonSports as well. Check out Wicked Smart Pod and go see everything on GuyBostonSports too, because there's some fun stuff over there. Go check out Jason Tatum's Twitter just to see some Guy Boston Sports related content too. You know, he's always promoting the brand for us too, which we appreciate. You guys will see if you check out Jason Tatum's Twitter. What do I mean? And thanks for listening as always, and we'll see you next week.